Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Loser Lounge with Colin Katie. Real quick, I decided to do a podcast with my dad, and I have to say, I think this is definitely the best episode yet. And at times, we do get a little bit more serious, but there's some fun stories in through there, and there's a lot about our relationship. So, yeah, I really hope you all enjoy, and I guess cue the intro.
What? What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Okay, welcome to the Loser Lounge with Colin Katie. You guys absolutely destroyed the downloads last time. I think last time, as of today, when I checked, I think it was 117 downloads on two episodes, which that is just insane. So I really appreciate all the support from you guys at the moment. But yeah, so as you heard, I have a special guest for the day, my father.
Good evening,
everybody. Okay, hello, this is my dad, Steven. We are going to talk about some stuff, and hopefully it's entertaining. He's a little bit monotone and and boring from time to time.
So. I'm old, is that what you're saying?
Yes, you are old. So, Dad, start by just telling the kids and the lovely... Well, first and foremost, I'd like to welcome our audiences today, our attractive females who are obsessed with me, cool guys who want to get even cooler, and my mom. Hello, Mom. Dad, say hi.
Hi.
Mom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. So, Dad, yeah, Dad, tell the viewers a little bit about yourself.
I am a native Oregonian, not really from Arkansas, but I moved to Arkansas in 2003. I guess I'm a dyed-in-the-wool beaver, so to speak. And the other part is I'm really an Aggie. Aggie in the sense that I grew up on a farm, and my whole life I've been in agriculture in some form or fashion, usually finance, loan officer, CFO. Kind of does a lot of things with money for some reason. I don't know what if I like money or it likes me, but it keeps me busy, and I kind of like dealing with some cows every once in a while, playing with the cows.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Wait, so are the Texas A&M, are they the Aggies as in, like, the cow, like agricultural?
Yes.
Okay, I never knew that. I was...
That was the college experiment state, you know, where land-grant colleges, that's their land-grant
Because it was originally, like, the Texas Commerce College, I think was the original name of it or something. I mean, it was not Texas A&M. But it was originally an ag-only college, and then I know that, I do know that about them, but I was unsure of...
Like, in Oregon, the beavers are the agricultural, you know, they're the Aggies. Mm. The ducks are something different, just totally opposite. We won't go there.
I see. We know, like, the U of A, even though we are, like, the land-grant institution, us and UAPB as the two land-grant institutions, I mean, we're the Ag College of Arkansas.
We truly are.
Even though it's in a metropolitan kind of metroplex in the Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas region, but still, I mean, throw it up for UARC, am I right?
Exactly. They got their own farm too.
They do. It's pretty cool, Loki. Pretty cool, Loki. For those non U of A listeners, and if you don't know, I go to school at the University of Arkansas, and we have a great agriculture department and like a farm and everything else for hands-on learning in animal science and plant sciences and the rest. So it's a great place to be. Great place to be. Yeah. Anything else you want? I think you hit on most of the high parts.
Some of the high parts. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those. I guess I got a sister. Some of my family lives here in Arkansas. Mm. My sister and brother-in-law and niece and nephew. So it's kind of neat to have them close. And you know, I guess probably my greatest thing that I've ever done is gotten married and had a son, and I'm very proud of him.
Mm. What's his name?
Colin.
Oh, yeah. Thought you were going to talk about the cats.
No.
Just to plug in here, for some reason, every animal we've ever had has loved my dad, even though he doesn't go out of his way to show them affection. He just sits on the couch, and for some reason, that just attracts and gravitates him towards them. I mean, we have a cat, and within a day, they're laying on his lap on the couch at night, so I'm not real sure how that works. Are you an animal whisperer of sorts?
I don't even whisper to them. They just love my lap, and I don't know what it must be. My magnetic personality,
To say the least. I'm not sure that magnetic would be the word that I used to describe it, but we'll push on to that. So, Dad, I guess my next question, transitioning over, is what is it like being my father? You can really paint a picture for the view. Keep in mind, our viewers are attractive females who are obsessed with me. Cool guys want to get even cooler, and mom. So yeah, that's your demographic right there. I think most of our listeners are about 18 to 24. So you can, they'll understand when you paint a picture of me. They'll be like, oh, this is the same thing my dad would say. So
after that selfies plug, can you tell me what the question was again? I kind of lost.
Yeah. So the question is, what is it like being my father?
It's actually pretty neat. And I really like the age you're at because you're kind of goofy and funny in one respect, but then we can have this really intelligent conversation. So to me, it's one that you're kind of multidimensional, where a lot of kids, you know, are either really serious or they're really funny. You kind of break that mold and have a lot of adaptability. And to me, I enjoy the political discussions we have and some of those things. But then every once in a while, we can have fun and joke around and that's kind of what I appreciate. It's a good age. I really love the, you know, 3 to 5 age though. It was one of my greatest things I enjoyed when you were a little kid and I would come home, you would see me, you'd run and greet me with a smile. And that was kind of one of my highlights when you were younger to me, one of your favorite times when you were growing up. So
I see. You know, I really don't remember much from those ages. I do recall, for some reason, at our old house, I do remember walking in and we were building a Lego set in the living room off to the right. I don't know why, but I just remember that. And I don't know what Lego set it was, but for some reason, that's about the only thing that I remember from that time period.
Do you remember Geppetto? We had this beautiful husky dog, pure white. Beautiful, beautiful dog. But if you opened up the door, the dog was gone.
Okay.
And, like, in the middle of the night, the dog would show back up. Didn't know where he went to. Didn't know where he went. You couldn't chase him. Couldn't get him.
Okay.
You just, you know, get up about 3 in the morning, and there he was by the door. You let him in. So when we left Oregon and moved here, some kind family took him. But remember Tigger. Do you remember
Tigger? Yes, I do remember Tigger.
Tigger, we had this cat, and we rescued him from, I shouldn't say this, kind of the last gasp of, you know, if we didn't get him, he probably would have been terminated.
I see.
So here we have this huge tabby cat, long hair, and he was 15 pounds. When we saw him, he had black on his fur. It was because the newspapers, he'd been in the shelter that long. So he had all this matted hair. So we took him to, you know, a dog stylist or whoever the, you know, whatever you call
dog him. Dog groomer kind
groomer
of thing.
Type person.
Okay.
Well, they trimmed him up, but they trimmed him up. He looked like a lion. They left this huge mane. And my neighbor gave me a bad time because the cat would sit in the front window and all you saw was this shaved cat except for this little bit on his tail and this huge mane. So he kind of looked like a lion and there was no end to how much grief my neighbor gave me about that. But when we moved from Oregon, when you were 3 years old out here, we actually brought Tigger with us and he rode in the pickup all the way back and we kind of snuck him in at all the motels so nobody knew. I guess we could get in trouble for that, but it was,
well,
that was a fun
it's thing. Probably past the statute of limitations, to be honest with you. But Tigger was probably the least lion-like of all the cats we've had, too, so.
Yeah, he is.
So I'm not sure that he really matched that description. But, okay, I get you. So, we're gonna play a little game real quick.
Okay.
Kind of fill the middle void here. And it's the abbreviation game. So I'm going to spout off modern teen abbreviations.
Acronyms or abbreviations?
Well, acronyms. They're both, I mean, technically, I mean, they are abbreviations of the word, but yeah, I get what you're saying. some acronyms. We're playing the acronym game. And so I'll spout these off, and then you guess what they mean. But I will say real quick, one thing that I find very interesting about these acronyms is if you look online, there's all these different things like slang that your teen might be using that you parents should be aware of. And so you're like, oh, yeah. So you go check out with these abbreviations, and they're like 10 letters long, and they're like, the drugs are hidden under the couch. Like, they're the stupidest things that probably one kid has used. And it just gets extrapolated to every kid for some reason. So I find that very interesting about these acronyms that parents are supposed to know. Like, oh, can't talk. Parents are in the room. The alcohol has been delivered. It's just stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. But for these acronyms, Dad, I'm gonna hit you off with some easy ones.
Okay.
First, okay?
We need to warm up on these.
Okay. What does AFK mean? And this is more of a gamer term.
A gamer term. Well, that's even worse.
Well.
Boy, I mean...
Away from keyboard.
Away from keyboard.
Yeah, okay. And a lot of people don't actually know that that's what AFK means. It's just kind of one of those sayings, like, if you're just doing something in your way. Okay.
I need, like, a hint with each one of these, I can tell.
Okay. IMO.
IMO.
Mm-hmm.
It matters only. No. Give me a hint.
You would say this after making a partial statement. So.
I don't know.
In my opinion.
Okay.
So you'd say like, oh, yeah. Justin Bieber is not that good. IMO. Oh. Okay, WYD.
WYD.
I'm going to have to enforce like a clock or something.
Yeah, you're going to, I mean, because this is tough for me. Because I don't text.
WYD.
I mean, I'm not a social media guy. I'm not really a texter. Mm-hmm.
So, I'll tell you.
I'm like over 60, so.
Well, you're 60. I mean, you're not over.
Well, I am
like,
technically over
60. Yeah, but when you say over 60, people are like, oh, is he 65? My dad is not that old. But you'd say this after, like, hello. So you'd say, you text one, you'd say, hello, buddy. And then you'd say this afterwards, WYD.
What you doing?
Yeah, there you go. You're one for three at this point.
One for three.
What is. ILYSM. ILYSM. You probably know what ILY might be.
I like you. What's the hint?
You're kind of along the... You're on the right train of thought here.
I like you so... Boy, I don't know.
I love you so much.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I was kind of like.
Yeah. I thought you'd get ILY, so I had to add the SM in there. You recently learned what RBF was, so I
love S&M. Oh, I guess.
No, well, I don't know about that. Let's not be spreading those kind of messages. This is a family-friendly podcast. You learned what RBF was recently. So
yes, I did. Yes, surprisingly.
Yeah.
At a pageant interview. Yes.
Yeah. So I won't make you answer that one. One of my favorites. I-Y-K-Y-K. I-Y-K-Y-K. This one is probably my favorite acronym. I-Y-K-Y-K.
And what's the hint?
The first one is IF. You've got 10 seconds left on the clock.
No, just tell it to me.
If you know, you know. So it's like kind of one of those like inside kind of reference. If you know, you know. I'll hit you off with the final one here before we transition back. TTYL. TTYL. You got this one you should get. Think about the lingo that kids would be texting each other.
Text you later.
Close.
Talk to you later.
Yes, there we go.
I got two of them.
Two out of like one, two, three, four, five, six. Two out of six. Okay. One third, 33%. That's not bad. Do you have any, as a parent, do you have any questions about the abbreviate, the acronyms that kids are using nowadays?
I mean, my slang when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I mean, it's changed so much. Mm-hmm. And I realize every generation changes it so that you have your own mm-hmm. lingo, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you guys have taken it to another level.
Ooh.
Especially with texting.
Okay.
I mean, IDK, at least I know that one.
Uh-huh. That one was a little bit too easy. I wasn't going to put that
one. LMAO.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I can't remember.
I'll tell you, there's a version of that that's LMFAO. So it adds that extra. We've had this conversation before with my dad, and I was trying to make the point that the certain expletive that starts with the letter S is very different from crap. Because sometimes you've got crap. A good example, my mom's purse. Sometimes you've got crap in your purse. Then other times you've got the other word in your part. There's just it adds that level of emphasis, you know, if you've got that extra amount. I think that kind of is my way of, that's the lingo that I think I kind of use, one of the slang kind of the colloquia that I utilize. But
so knowing I come from a different generation.
Really? I did not know that.
Couple different generations. I asked you the other night about TV Guide. What's the TV Guide?
Mm-hmm.
And you really didn't know it was a weekly publication.
Yeah. I know that. I was probably just being facetious.
But most people, I mean, kids nowadays see TV Guide. It's
built in. It's so built you don't in. Have
what
to,
what yeah. are you talking about? There's a paper TV Guide.
Like, yeah. No. So it is really simple.
And we had two channels. So I mean,
yeah. A lot more where Disney Channel's got their own 15. They got normal Disney. They got Disney 2, Disney 3, Disney XD, Disney Kids, Disney Kids 2, Disney Throwbacks. It's just
two channels, one black and white, one color. Mm-hmm. So what did you pick from? Usually the color.
I mean, who wants to watch black and white unless it was good content?
Exactly.
Unless it was Casablanca. I mean, what else would you? What else would you...
Captain Kangaroo, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Captain Kangaroo. Yeah. That's my favorite. I do love... did you ever... Wacky Races?
Yeah, Wacky Races.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite shows. Dick Dastardly. Yeah, Dick Dastardly and his little bud, Muttley.
Yeah.
And the Ant Hill Mob.
Oh, yes.
Penelope Bidstock. I mean, is... Because I would always watch Boomerang. I loved Boomerang for that because that show was one of the ones that I really gravitated towards and thought was so funny. But you know they remade it.
They remade it.
Yeah, and it's like this new animation style, and it's stupid. I watched like 5 minutes of it for that nostalgia feeling, right. And it was just bad.
But you know, all they took is the same races happened.
Exactly.
And the same competitiveness, but it always ended up the same.
Yeah, exactly. Dick Dastardly would get ahead and somehow would lose.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty predictable.
But to me, Bugs Bunny was the epitome of cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
That was what if I got up on Saturday morning, that's what I wanted to watch. Mm. Truly was
okay.
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny, interesting. Well, because, you know, there's actually been a lot of pretty great TV shows from that era, the cartoons that have kind of stood the test of time. But I do think Looney Tunes is one of those that have transcended kind of transcended the cartoon status, and with their movies and everything else, have kind of become a cultural piece, a cultural phenomena, really.
Because Bugs Bunny, you kind of... remind me of Bugs Bunny.
Oh, okay.
You're kind of a little bit smart. I mean, you got this little attitude, a little smart, you know.
Did you just say that I have an attitude? For all of my listeners, you can judge that for yourself.
Plus, you're kind of loud, so...
No, I am. I don't...
You're not Italian, you're just loud.
No. Yeah, I've never been referred to as Bugs Bunny before. I'm gonna have to put that in the association book of all the things that I've been likened to. I've never been likened to Bugs Bunny.
Could be worse.
It could. Yeah. I mean, you could liken me to the Tasmanian Devil, or so. I do think that being Marvin the Martian would be kind of cool.
Loved him. To me, he was cool.
Yeah.
He really was cool.
Yeah.
Had this that ray gun, you know.
Exactly.
And Bugs would always fool him.
Exactly. There's a lot of cartoon characters in Looney Tunes that I think are actually very well written and are very enjoyable. Because even like Wile E. Coyote, who you shouldn't be able to root for, you always root for him anyway.
He's the underdog. Yeah.
So
you always at some point want him to get the bird.
Exactly. Wile E. Coyote went after Roadrunner.
Roadrunner.
Oh,
bird, yeah.
Well, I guess technically that's a bird. Yes. It's a bird in the same way that a penguin's a bird.
He doesn't fly, he just runs.
Yeah, I mean, to me, birds aren't real. Do you subscribe to that conspiracy theory that birds aren't real?
I do not.
Oh.
No.
Really?
I would believe in aliens before I believe that.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Metaphorically, no.
Okay. Okay.
Spiritually, yeah. But
okay, ask me if I believe in ghosts.
I think I've heard this joke before. That ghosts... Wait.
Are you going to ask me that?
I'll tee it up for you. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do, but most importantly, they should believe in themselves.
Okay, are you happy now?
Exactly. I've been sitting on that joke. I love that. That came from Ted Lasso, which is a great show, by the way. But I talked about that... I talked about that last episode. I don't even know what I talk about in these episodes. I just get in here and start rambling. Dad, what's your favorite book that you've ever read?
What is my favorite book? I like Stephen King's The Gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
But I got frustrated about halfway through because it took him so long to write the next book. Because they're huge, I mean.
Okay.
And I've never finished it.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So, it's kind of one of those. I really got so into it and loved the characters because it's so, from an entertainment it stretched my brain in a way that I've never thought of things. Mm. And that's what I loved about Stephen King is it wasn't this world. It's a totally different world. And to be able to come up with that world and how it interacted with our current world and I just think it really was a neat piece of work from an entertainment standpoint.
Mm-hmm. No, I get you. Interesting. Okay. Okay. I haven't heard you reference that before. I don't know that I've ever asked you that question.
I've actually read most of Stephen King.
Really?
Stuff.
It?
It, yes.
Oh!
Woo. Yes.
You really like those movies for some reason.
Yeah, I kind of like, I mean, just because maybe it's the adrenaline factor.
Mm.
It's just different than... I'm kind of one of these. I kind of get bored sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I like things that maybe stretch my mind and make me open to look at things differently.
Pennywise, eating your brain really stretches it out, eh? Am I right?
Yeah, Pennywise, it's...
I'm not a big horror movie fan.
But it doesn't scare me to watch those movies. Uh-huh. I mean, like most people, it's kind of like... Horror movies usually don't scare me.
I get ya. I don't scare very easily on that kind of stuff, but I'm very avoidant of anything that I think might have kind of that horror kind of element. It's kind of like roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really enjoy that type of adrenaline.
And I do.
Yeah, see, I have no issue going and speaking in front of people, which is, for some people, just unbearable to even think about the fact of doing that. So for me, I just don't enjoy that, the kind of adrenaline that's the jump scare, the quick, like the short term kind of quick get. So to me, yeah, that's just kind of my philosophy on that.
I kind of like the adrenaline rush, especially when I was younger.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, kind of thinking about that, we don't really watch movies, but what's your favorite thing that we've done together?
Oh, wow. What has been our favorite thing that we've done together?
Because I don't even know the answer to this question. I'm trying to think.
What has been the favorite? you know, we really haven't ever built anything together, and that's kind of one of the things I'd like to do some, you know.
Legos! We built Legos together!
And we built Legos together. But probably the funnest times I had when you were younger, I would make up stories and tell you these stories. Just, and it was fun, and you really knew they weren't real. But I was trying to get your imagination or help you develop imagination. And so you used to love me reading some books to you. And probably the funnest time I had was reading you Dr. Seuss.
No, we can't talk about Dr. Seuss anymore.
No, we can't, so we won't talk about him. But the ultimate book was Monkeys Jumping on the Bed.
Yes.
You used to love, you know, and to me it was, I memorized that book after, what, one sitting? And I could tell it to you without flipping through the page. I mean, but you loved, and I really animated and had fun with it.
Okay.
That was kind of one of those fun things that we got to do for a while. And
okay.
I
guess that was probably a little bit before my memory, because I don't really recall any of that. I mean, I do for some reason know Monkeys Jumping on the Bed. Like, if someone starts reading, like, I know quite a few lines from it, so that's kind of stuck with me. But no, I don't actually remember you. You still tell me stories that sometimes I don't believe. But
you know, when we went to Washington D.C. and New York. I really enjoyed that time together because it was, as a family, we got to all experience the same thing. And we're at an age that we got to really enjoy it or talk about it. And, you know, from a historical standpoint and your aspirations to be in D.C. at some point, that to me was a really fun experience.
I agree.
And when you look at, I could say, really all experiences growing up and being a parent, there's phases and different periods of growth. And so I really don't have any bad memories.
Well, that's good.
I mean, probably the funniest and probably most dramatic to you was when you were, what, probably 7-8 years old and came to the farm, and I was working out there and all the cows came up to you, and having 20 cows that are 3 feet taller than you scared you, and I hated that for you. I really did.
Yeah,
that was a bad experience.
It ruined agriculture for me. For everyone who doesn't know, I'm an ag leadership major, and for most of my life, I've kind of despised the concept of associating myself with agriculture from that experience. Anything that had the word agriculture to it just made me just cringe, because it just made me think about that. It's like, oh, agriculture, that means it has to do with cows and those things. Yeah, that was probably one of those experiences that were not a highlight moment.
Ever since that happened, every time I ask if you wanted to go to the farm, you always told me no.
Yeah. So I've gone back 2 or 3 times since then, since I was about 6 years old. Yeah. part of it is being a parent. You kind of have to apply a different strategy throughout life. I mean, you can't parent an 18-year-old the same way that you do a 6-year-old. So you've kind of had to grow alongside in this journey learning how to adapt and adjust. So what about that aspect of like parts of me that have changed that you've had to adapt to?
I think the plus side is that when you were born, I was 40 years old. And I was a lot more mature at 40 than I was at 20. So I think that's the good thing. And to me, having worked in different industries and supervised different people, I think that helped me be a much better parent. And knowing about personality styles and how to help develop people, and I'm a lot better coach now than I was when you were born. I mean, so it's one of those things. I think trying to look at you and, you know, you were a fun kid when you were little, and to me that was a fun phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you like to joke around,
mm-hmm.
like to pull pranks.
Yeah.
And I remember here, you were probably, what, about 6 or 7. I picked up a foam cup, poured some Kool-Aid or lemonade in it,
mm-hmm.
or water. And the next thing I know,
poked the hole in the bottom.
Dribble of water spouting down, and I'm getting all wet. And so I knew it was you. And so you did little pranks like that that were funny.
You tell me, was it Mom who did that?
So, you know, and I guess what I liked is, you know, I see part of what I bring to the table and what your mother brought to the table,
mm-hmm.
from genetics and the way we think, and seeing that blended together in you and what you've become. And that to me has been probably one of the neatest experiences, and trying to let you grow. My job wasn't to tell you exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was to help lead you or guide you so that you grew on your own,
mm-hmm.
and keep you within the kind of the borrow pit, so you stay on the, mm-hmm. road. And I mean, we're very blessed. You're a great kid, grown into an exceptional young man. So to me, it's all neat to see that come together,
mm-hmm.
as a parent, and know that hopefully you did most of what you tried to do right.
And mm-hmm.
I think the good thing is, as a parent, you learn that you're never going to do things perfect, but you know, as long as you try, do it with love,
mm-hmm.
hopefully it's going to work out.
No, exactly.
So.
No, I feel you. I appreciate those kind words, Dad. Well, and I think part of it is because I get, and Mom is a little bit different. I mean, she's been a little bit more hands-on, and one might even say a little bit more managerial. But you know, I get asked a lot of, like, I was even asked today of whether I was more like you or more like Mom. And kind of from that regard, I think you both have been different enough that I was able to kind of take different aspects of both. Because in my eyes, I think you're a little bit more stoic than I am.
Oh, yes.
Where I'm a little bit more of the, I don't know that I would say you're 100% introverted, but you're a lot more introverted than I am. And we're right. both a lot more introverted than Mom is. And so I think in a lot of respects, I've kind of culminated into a good mixture of both of you, both genetically, see, technically, but also from a personality standpoint of kind of taking the parts of both of you that I felt were great. It's kind of, you know, it's the kind of the whole philosophy with the evolution of parenting. You take what worked, and hopefully you carry that along and keep applying it, and weed out the parts that maybe weren't as effective, and carry that. So I think to a large extent, I've tried to take parts of your personalities that I felt like really resonated with me and were effective in communicating and from a parenting aspect.
I guess my only regret was I wish we would have had more,
mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And to me, it's, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's selfish to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some respects, you don't have a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, my sister is very special to me,
mm-hmm.
and that relationship. So, I mean, in some respects, you weren't given that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So you got all the attention. So that's good and bad.
Maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing sometimes.
So, but I mean, I look at it and say, I think it would have been nice to have another sibling or another child to,
mm-hmm.
grow up with, and both from a parent standpoint and also for you, because at some point we'll be gone, and that's,
mm-hmm.
who you'll have left.
No, well, and I mean, part of it is, I think being an only child has kind of forced me to develop some tendencies that I think I would have had a harder time if I was only. So I mean, I know how to kind of be by myself and operate. I'm not saying that I'm like totally independent, but know how to live just by myself, and that I don't require other people to do things with it. Because a lot of things that I've noticed is a lot of people are can't go to a movie by themselves or can't do anything by themselves. Where I think being an only child has kind of taught me that in a certain aspect, you have to be able to do that. I'm growing up to kind of entertain yourself. I guess that's why I crack myself up so much. But I do think it has served me well. But I mean, at other times, of course, it's always kind of been like, what if I had? But I mean, I think that I have some friends that I've developed a relationship with for such a long time that maybe, I mean, not like they're actual brothers, but I do have someone to go do things with and that I've kind of grown with for the past couple of years that, I mean, they're not a substitute for an actual sibling, but have kind of filled some of that void that maybe one might experience in the older age of teenage when that kind of stuff starts to become relevant.
Well, I've got some friends, and to me, they're probably my oldest friends, mm-hmm. my closest friends, that it seems like I can pick up the phone or see them, mm-hmm. and it's like I've never lost any time mm-hmm. with them. So to me, those friendships you develop growing up are mm-hmm. are really special, and I don't know that you ever refill that void mm-hmm. with other people, because growing up together, it cements it for some reason.
I mean, and it creates that bond that even though you hate each other at times, it's just that it's that innate connection and almost protectiveness that develops. I get where you're coming from. But I do love Aunt Jen. You know, she's
well, she spoils you. That's why you love your Aunt Jen. So. You have her wrapped around your finger, is what you do.
Maybe partially.
But you know, it's one of those things. I waited a long time to get married, and mm-hmm. and one of the things I really learned and felt comfortable with was I was happy alone and with mm-hmm. myself. It's finding someone else then. Mm-hmm. to make it better.
Exactly.
I didn't have to go out and marry somebody to fulfill myself.
Exactly.
So to me, that's why I'm probably more independent and mm-hmm. and somewhat, I wouldn't say a loner, but I'm not as social as mm-hmm. Marla is. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things, and you know, in some ways, in some respects, you are connected to someone who's your opposite, and that's kind of why you're attracted to someone, because you're you and you look at them and go, wow, you know, I like that in someone because mm-hmm. I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how you do court your opposites sometimes, and, mm-hmm. and where I'm not a social media person, she is such a social media person. I mean, so there's that dynamics where mm-hmm. She loves to be in front of people, and I can do that. I can be in front of people and speak, but I really don't want to. I mean, it's not. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be out with the cows, mm-hmm. driving the tractor or something.
No, I get you. Well, and I think you spoke on something important that is an important piece of relationship advice that, you know, people are obsessed with this idea of someone else completing them, which is the total right. wrong idea right. and is the number one factor of it not working out. And it's the sheer fact of you have to learn how to love yourself and be by yourself. And it's someone else coming together and working as a team towards a common goal and not two half beings coming together right. to create a whole being.
Right.
And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of misinterpret in the common times. Or at least that's what I see on social media.
So I'll ask you this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really tried to not shelter you. And mm-hmm. and if we did stuff, you were included. Mm-hmm. You know, you interacted with adults a lot as a kid. Weren't afraid to talk to people. Mm-hmm. What lessons do you think we gave you, one or two, that really helped you turn out to be the way you are?
Okay, so I think first I have to do the stupid everything in moderation, which, you know, for...
Haven't I said that?
Oh, maybe. So for everyone listening, that's my dad's kind of, his kind of slogan that he always says. But I think that is one thing that has kind of stuck with me of making sure that there's a balance, because I with my personality, it's really easy for me to almost be obsessive over some things and just get so focused down something that I kind of lose touch with reality mm-hmm. to a certain extent. And so it's important for me to kind of maintain that balance of knowing what's a healthy amount for me to, what's a healthy amount for me to be in school, but also recognize that it's also a time for me to have growth and have fun and live for the experiences. So, I do think that is one of them. And to be honest with you, there's not another one that comes to mind, which I almost think is a good thing because it shows me kind of how subliminal it's been to a certain extent. Because I think you both have been good role models in kind of different aspects almost too, with just what you've been involved with and everything. And so I really don't have one that like comes off the top of my head, which shows that, I mean, the fact that I've made it this far and have turned out into the person that I've been, I mean, speaks to the effectiveness of y'all's parenting styles. So, you know, but yeah, to be honest with you, I'm trying to think of another like kind of specific, at least one that's kind of got a catchy enough kind of tag to it that I remember. And I don't really know that specifically, but I do think that I do think from both of you that I have developed a sense of pride of striving for I don't want to say greatness, but at least for an excellent, I guess like an expectation of excellence. Is that it's not, you don't have to win everything, but you should give your best at the end of the day. I mean, because the last thing you want to do is regret something because you didn't put your effort into it. If you put your effort into something and you lose, it's fine because you did what you could, and there's some things that are out of your control, but I do think you guys have instilled that in me because you've had high expectations for me, and I think that I've tried my best to strive up to those and instill that in others that I'm around.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think I personally have strived for is every day I get up is try to be better at what I do. As I get older, that seems tougher.
Exactly.
But for the most part, when I was young, I always tried to think, how can I improve myself? How can I build my resume? How can I be better for my employer? And I think I also, it took me a while, but looked at that personally. How can I grow personally? And I probably took me a while to grow up longer than some people, which is a whole nother story. But it's one of those that I think if you have that mentality, it's that balance, or it fits well with my beliefs, my Christian beliefs, that if I do that, am I being Christ-like and trying to do a better job, love better, serve more, be a good role model? All those things, and that's tough. It really is tough to do that every day in, day out. But I think if you set that as your goal and you keep that mindful, you're going to have an impact. No. But I've never probably told you that, but that's been one of those things that I've always strove for.
Well, and that's actually very similar to me, because I'm kind of, not that I'm obsessed with kind of the self-improvement, but I mean, that's something that I've always tried to be conscious of kind of that, the 1% rule of every day to get 1% better, and that is how you actually really achieve success. It's not an overnight ordeal. Right. It's this very slow build, and you get 1% better, and then eventually you get 10% better, and then 20% better, and then I think that's the way that you really make changes in your life, and really, that's what kind of success, the real path to success is those slow improvements that build over time, and it's because it's a long term game. It's not a short term game. So okay. So I guess I'd like to transition over. Kind of lighten it up a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Do you have a fun college story? Because a lot of our viewers are college aged, you know? Maybe something.
Oh, geez.
Maybe or it can be from that age. It doesn't have to be specifically related to college, but...
I went to college at Oregon State, and... one of my friends from high school was going to Oregon State. He was a forestry major. I was a marine science major. So the forestry department had kind of a hands-on, you know, have fun. And so they had one of the big whip saws had a competition where you, you know, cut a log and
and
never done that before. And so me and my roommate, we did it. And that was one of the, I was in pretty good shape then.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a saw and you have to not push, you have to pull and timing it to get the rhythm down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the log's 2 feet thick. And after about 10 minutes, we did that. And then, you know, they had the spikes where you could climb this big Doug fir tree. Mm-hmm. You know, I put those spikes on. And I don't know if anybody was watching, but I started to climb this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up about 4 feet. And that was about as high as I could get. I mean, it looks easy when someone knows what they're doing. But I end up falling off the tree. And I don't know if anybody saw me or not. But it's one of those things that... Noel, who was my college roommate for a year, he was good because he's one of the, we really had a lot of fun because he kind of did these impromptu, you know, let's go do something crazy.
The kind of spontaneous.
Very spontaneous. Okay. And I think it was a Memorial Day or Labor Day. It was, I think Memorial Day. It was 3-day weekend in the spring. And it was like 9 o'clock and he's going, well, let's drive to the Owyhee River and go fishing. Well, you know, that's like 250 miles away.
Okay.
So, like at 9 o'clock, we just start grabbing everything we think we need and jump in his pickup, and we drive. And about 2:30 at night, he can't keep his eyes open, and I can't either. So, we pull off the middle of the road, and this is probably right near Burns, Oregon, which it's all sagebrush. You know, it's Bureau of Land Management property. We just drive off the road, throw our... duffel bags out, go to bed, you know, and wake up like at 6 a.m. You can hear cars coming past us. And and so we drove the rest of the way down to close to Denio to the Owyhee River and hiked down to the river and fished for a while. And you know, and I think we had some crackers and, I mean, we didn't have much food. Didn't bring any water. I mean, bottled water wasn't that big, so it was kind of one of those things. We didn't have much water. So I think the next day we ended up driving to my folks' place, ate dinner or lunch, and then drove back to Corvallis. So we had this, you know, like 3-day weekend that was totally spontaneous. And to me, that those were really fun things to do, to just say, let's... you know, screw school for a while and go do something fun. Do a road trip.
Before you have responsibilities, you can just go take it out. You've never told me that before, so interesting. I didn't know that you were a lumberjack.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those. I think that it was the year before. I didn't live with my roommate. He had like 3 other roommates. So we got invited to go fishing up on this creek up in the Willamette Valley, and didn't catch any fish, but somebody figured out there was all this crawfish in the streams. So here we are. I mean, everybody's got cowboy boots and jeans on, and we're jumping in this creek and getting all wet, and everybody's grabbing crawfish. And I don't know how many we got. I mean, it's got 200. Probably there's a limit on them, and we probably exceeded that limit. So we brought those back, and that night we had a big party, and all these people came over and ate crawfish, and
Interesting.
It was kind of another one of those spontaneous.
Yeah, those are the most fun.
Nobody plans it and you just do it.
With no real rhyme or reason. Okay, I get you. That's about all the points that I had. Is there anything you want to specifically discuss? Or
so what's the funnest time you've ever had as a kid? What's the one thing you've done in your life where you've had the most fun?
The most fun? The most fun. I have youth tour, probably. So I, for everyone listening, I took a trip. I was selected to go to DC with a bunch of other kids my age. And it was for like a week, and we just got to go basically explore DC as a tour guide. But what I loved about it is, I'd never been to D.C. before, so it was great. I mean, I loved seeing that. But what I also loved about it is that I got to experience it with others who hadn't as well. And so, I mean, we were just all kids, just out having fun and kind of goofing around. But I liked it because, I mean, we were supervised. Everything was done for us. So we had, like, no responsibilities and no worries or anything. I mean, we were just there along for the experience. And I think that would have to be because, like, there was not a care or a single mind going through. There was not a single thought going through my mind that wasn't about DC. And so it was just so much fun just to get to explore. And then, I mean, at night, me and my roommates would order pizza, and the guy, our chaperone, would go get it for it. So while everyone else was in bed and hungry, I mean, we'd have, like, just a ton of pizza and sandwiches and everything. And so it was kind of, I think that was one of the last experiences before life kind of got real, and I actually kind of had, like, senior year, right. You have a lot more responsibilities. So that was kind of one of the, I think, probably funnest times, because I was just carefree, just there for the experience. And it was a week long, so it was just, like, back to back. So I would have to say that is the top, or at least up there. I'd have to probably think on it for a little while to come up with something else, but that definitely is near the top of the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that about wraps it up, don't it?
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to say or leave our audience with?
Never dink. Drink drown that downstream from the herd.
Yes, never drink downstream from the herd. And why is that, Dad? You think the cows might be
clean water? Yeah. I guess
that's their bathtub water. well, okay. Well, Dad, I appreciate you coming on here and talking to me. This episode's going to be quite a bit longer than my usual episodes, but I think it'll go over well. I think the kids are going to enjoy getting to know a little bit more. So my friends will really enjoy this, because they'll enjoy getting to hear from you, but people who are new and to the podcast and have just discovered it and not know a lot about me might not understand a whole lot about this. But yeah, so I really appreciate you doing this with me. And so I guess I will wrap it up. So again, guys, if you want to support the podcast, the number one way of doing so is posting us on your story. Take a screenshot of you listening to this episode and pop it up on your story and tell your friends. That really, truly helps us. Number two is probably like reviewing, leaving us 5 stars on Apple and writing a quick review. 10 out of 10. Woo! I did that on your phone. Did you know that?
No, I
went on your phone and... Apple, please
do
not.
Am I surprised? No.
No. Apple, please don't. Please don't remove the podcast. Yeah, and always feel free to follow us on here and subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's always another avenue of content if you enjoy what you see here. But yeah, I think that's just about it. I appreciate you all listening to this episode. And that's about it.
See you again, maybe in 20 episodes.
Okay. Peace out, Girl Scouts. Bye.